category of those who are faithful. And this brings our minds back to what we've already heard in the second talk this day when we're talking about how faith will make us stand. Impute unto us righteousness because of our faith. He will walk before God's anointed forever. And we can see the future aspect of this type. Those who are faithful, brothers and sisters, will walk before Christ forever in this kingdom, in this temple that we're going to have a look at in just a minute. Well, who's this faithful priest? Well, we get the answer if we carry the thought forward, if we go to 1 Kings chapter 2. We now see who this faithful priest is spoken of back in 1 Samuel. When Adonijah conspired against David, if we remember the story, at this time Adonijah wanted to become king. So basically he wanted to usurp David, he wanted to go above David and become king. And we see that in 1 Kings chapter 1. We're told there that Abiathar, the priest, followed Adonijah. So we have Abiathar, which was the priest, who followed Adonijah. However, we have this individual brought out now, named Zadok, the priest. It says, while Zadok the priest was not with Adonijah. So what we're told here is when the conspiracy happened, one of these individuals decided, I'm going to team up with the person who was conspiring against David or with Adonijah. Whereas we have the other person named Zadok who said, forget it. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to be loyal to God's anointed, to David. So we see a type played out here. And what's the end result of that, brothers and sisters? Well, we find out here who that faithful priest is. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 27, and also in verse 35, we're told, so Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord. So we get the crack here where he was in the priesthood, and he's taken out of that lineage. He was thrust out unto the Lord that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spoke concerning the house of Eli and Shiloh, concerning what we just read about back in 1 Samuel 2. And the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host. And Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. So this Zadok is now put in the place of where Abiathar once was. Well, we just found out, brothers and sisters, who that faithful priest is. Zadok is representative of the faithful priest. Abiathar was removed from being priest unto Yahweh, and we're going to see the connection in Ezekiel in just a minute. And Zadok took his place, becoming priest unto Yahweh. So when we go and bring our minds now to Ezekiel chapter 34, we have two classes of priests that are brought out in the age to come. We have the sons of Levi, which are the first class, and we would compare them, brothers and sisters, with Abiathar. Ezekiel 44, 12 and 13 says, behold, they, the Levites, ministering unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me, to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. And that's very important language there, brothers and sisters, where we read that they shall not come near to any of my holy things. So when we're trying in our minds to separate the difference, and that's sort of the hard thing to do for some, when we're talking about the sons of Levi and the sons of Zadok, we just have to look at that wording there. We're told here that the Levites will not come near unto anything holy. The Levites were not faithful. That's their punishment, brothers and sisters, we read here, as Abiathar was not faithful in the example we read back with David. Therefore, God will not allow them to come near unto him and have the office of a priest unto him, just as Abiathar was removed from being priest unto God. So what did the Levites do now in the kingdom age? Well, they have the task of ministering unto the people. Ezekiel 40, verse 45 tells us, this chamber whose prospect is toward the south is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of my house. So anytime we see that language now, keepers of the charge of the house or of the people or ministering to the people, it's all the same language. We're talking about the sons of Levi. And this is in comparison also to verse 46 of Ezekiel 40, where the sons of Zadok are the keepers of the charge of the altar. And we're going to look at now at the sons of Zadok and why they will be able to come right into the presence there, because they come right to the altar. Come near to the Lord to minister unto Him. Ezekiel 44 and 14 says, "But I will make them, the Levites, keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein." We also know that in the kingdom age, that this Levites, the people that make up the sons of Levi, are mortals. So when we go through that in Ezekiel 44, verses 19 and 22, we're given some language there that it says, when they go forth into the outer court, even into the outer court of the people. So again, outer court of the people, we're talking about the Levi, sons of Levi. "Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before." Well, how do we know they're mortal, brothers and sisters? Well, we compare Scripture with Scripture. We know in Matthew 24 that the saints will not marry or be given in marriage in the kingdom age. Therefore, we have a mortal class of priests, which are contained here from the sons of Levi. Conversely, let's move on now and look at the sons of Zadok, or who we would rather refer to as the saints, those who have remained faithful. The immortalized saints that will minister to God and have the service of the altar. And this is where we want to pay close attention, brothers and sisters, because this hopefully has to do a lot with us. So we have on this slide here the sons of Zadok. They have a higher prominence, we're told, because they didn't go astray. They remained faithful, as we saw. The representative of Zadok and all those that follow become sons of Zadok. Zadok, in Scripture, brothers and sisters, means righteousness. Brings us back to the thought of Melchizedek, Melchizedek, king of righteousness. That lineage is the same. That is that banner, the family that we will become part of, or are part of, and will continue as long as we remain righteous, imputed righteousness in Christ. Saints will be made immortal because they have been accounted righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. And here's the verse that Brother Paul alluded to in his first talk, Psalms 132. "Arise, O Yahweh, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy." So we see this comparison with the saints and the priests in the kingdom age. Melchizedek, Zadok, is also a component of that word, which means king of righteousness. So we've talked many times in many talks we've heard already about this order of after Melchizedek, and Christ is the head of that order. So we can follow that through. Also, brothers and sisters, it's very easy to separate the two in our minds, and this is a chart that I would highly recommend that you mark in your Bibles. Not right now, because we'll be flipping past it quite fast. But just to get the gist of what's said here, if we're doing trying to keep the order of the two orders of the priests in our minds when we go through Ezekiel 44. We have the Levites who went astray, in contrast with those who kept the charge of my sanctuary. The Levites are ministers in the sanctuary, having charge at the gates, ministering to the house. The sons of Zadok enter into the sanctuary, and they come near to the table. So we can get the language and pick out the difference quite readily. The Levites will slay the sacrifices for the people, whereas the sons of Zadok offer unto Yahweh the fat and the blood. The Levites will be able to only stand and minister to the people, whereas the sons of Zadok stand before Yahweh to minister unto Him. And I think we're getting the point. "Come not near to any of them, the holy things, nor to Yahweh," the sons of Levi again, and the sons of Zadok will be able to come near unto Yahweh. So we have the keepers of the charge of the house and keepers of the charge of the altar. It's quite clear, brothers and sisters, and we should keep that in our mind and see how we can fit into that grand scheme. But let's just briefly look at some small detail of the temple. Again, I mentioned that I don't want to go into great detail with it. We don't have the time. One aspect is some have thought, had some talk about whether it's a large or small temple. And we only need to look, brothers and sisters, I believe, at Ezekiel 40, verse 5, where we're told there that we have a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a handbreadth. And in ancient times, that is regarded as the royal cubit. And that's approximately twice the height of man, or 12 feet. So we can use that measurement, and we can work out through all the measurements that are given in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, anytime we see any measurements, and we can map out this large temple that we're going to virtually walk through in short time. What we want to do, though, as a rule of thumb, is keep this consistency that anytime we see the reed measure in every instance, we should use it, except where specified otherwise in the Hebrew text. So in other words, brothers and sisters, let's not add in things that aren't there. If there's not a change in the language, then we're going to assume we're still talking about this reed. The angel had the staff. We're told it's a measuring reed. It equals approximately 12 feet. And he goes around and he measures. So we have no need and no reason to take that and say, well, now I think that's a lot smaller. It should have been cubits here instead of reeds. Okay? If we do this and we can compare scripture in many areas, and we'll see that the temple is quite grand. It's quite large. We're told in Ezekiel 42, verse 15 to 20, that he measured it by four sides. It had a wall round about 500 reeds long, 500 broad, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. So we have this measuring reed that is used and is made to map out these measurements. Also Ezekiel 40, verse 5, and in the man's hand, a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a hand breadth. So that's how we make up that measurement. And some people have done the work. I know in Logos not too long ago, Brother Stan Snow showed a calculation to make up that number there. And he came out with approximately 12 feet for that, using scripture to determine that. So that is a good number to work with. We're told in Ezekiel 45, verses 1 and 2, moreover, when ye shall divide by the lot the land for inheritance, ye shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, a holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 520,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about. Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length, 500 in breadth, square round about, and 50 cubits round about for the suburbs thereof. And we don't want to exhaust that, brothers and sisters, because as we read through that, all you're going to see right now is that's a lot of numbers, okay? Our minds can't hold that in, but there has been many that have spent the time to measure this out, and it becomes quite large when we do that. So we want to use the same measurement all the way through as we read through Ezekiel, unless there's a change in Scripture. In Ezekiel 40, verse 2, we also are told that Ezekiel was brought up. It says, in the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. So as Ezekiel looked down and he saw this temple, he didn't use his binoculars, brothers and sisters, to see a small temple. What he did was he saw a huge, magnificent, glorious temple that is described all over Scripture, beautiful for situation, for elevation, lifted up for all to see, round about, and it was as a frame of a city on the south. It was unmistakably large. We're told in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And of course, brothers and sisters, we know we're talking about the grandeur of the temple. We're not talking about size here being greater, but we're talking about the magnificence. If we can think and read back in all the verses, and we talk about this wonderful temple that was built in the time of Solomon, this humongous and glorious gold-laden temple, we're told here that this will be greater than the former. It will be a magnificent temple to go see. Well, let's look at who would be allowed in Jerusalem, ultimately, brothers and sisters, including into this area in the temple. We're told in many instances in Scripture that no stranger will pass through Jerusalem anymore. There's a number of verses that we can mark down or look up in Isaiah 52 and 1, Joel 3 and 17, and Nahum 1 and 15, which talk to us about the fact that no strangers will pass through Jerusalem anymore. Well, what does that mean, brothers and sisters? Who would we deem to be a stranger? What does that mean when we're a stranger? Well, Ezekiel 44, verse 9 tells us, thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. So what do we have here? To qualify as a stranger, brothers and sisters, or to be a stranger, someone must be uncircumcised, both in heart, as in baptism, and in flesh, meaning that they are not part of the covenant of God. No stranger shall pass through. This area will be separate. This temple is a separate temple for those that will have to be baptized and separate. They have to separate their minds to be part of that covenant through Christ. No stranger will pass through this magnificence. This is a rendition of quite an old picture that Brother Solly put together. This bottom one is just, if you just kind of zoomed on in on that about 100 times, you would painstakingly make that in about 4 months in any 3D application, and that's what I sort of tried to do at one time until computers let me down. But it's a magnificent study, brothers and sisters, to go through, to see how we can be part of this wonderful time of worship, a time when we can walk and we can look at it, and we can look at the glory, look at the bulwarks, and marvel. This approximately 57 second multimedia running down here. This little guy here, you can pretend it's me, hopefully, in the kingdom age. But this the only reason we have this little fellow walking around to show this is obviously to show the size of the temple. And what we're going to do now is just take about 57 seconds to just walk through just into the first gate and down the first outer court. Nobody has really been able to make any further than that yet. It's a work in process, and it's quite painstaking just to do this amount of work on any computers that we have nowadays, even with our technology. But hopefully, like we started with saying today, brothers and sisters, it's to give us an idea of the grandeur of the temple and this to give us a hope of what we can see in the temple age. I guess I'll just say what's happening here since you can't see it, but we have a walkthrough now of a person going into the temple, into the one of the gates on either the north or the south side. He just crossed through the water, which symbolizes baptism. He's now inside the temple, into the first portion, and he is just walking around here, and we're just seeing what it may look like. Of course, we can't be dogmatic, brothers and sisters. Brother Solly has shown that there are an upper level as well. Whether there's going to be an elevator or not, to me, is kind of comical, but it just gives us a little bit of a grandeur of walking down and seeing this temple. And we're just walking down now, and we just stopped. And that's as much has been done so far, brothers and sisters, in the way of multimedia. Painstaking to get to this point for those that have worked on it. And this bottom, or this end corner piers that we see is the area which is deemed out as the kitchens. And there will be an area for preparing sacrifices there. Well, just to finish with brothers and sisters, we've had a walkthrough of the temple. We've talked about many concepts of what's going to happen in that age. And of course, we don't have time to go into any more detail. But we do want to realize, brothers and sisters, from what we've seen today in all our talks so far, is that we are very, very close to this time. We are close to this time where Armageddon is going to happen, and we know, brothers and sisters, that we will be taken away before that. And we see the scriptures fulfilling itself in prophecy, the stress of nations with perplexity. We have the sea and waves which are roaring with tumult in the world. We have a fearful expectation of impending calamities happening, and the list goes on and on and on, brothers and sisters, and we hear about it in our public lectures all the time. If only we can heed the warning and prepare ourselves and see what's happening. Our greatest is, as a marker, is Israel regathering to the land, so we are very close to the time when the return of Christ comes and that we will stand before judgment. Hopefully, brothers and sisters, we will be found righteous, imputed righteous through Christ, and that we can become sons of Zadok in the kingdom age, and we prepare now for this future work. Thank you.